Welcome back to Heinous Beliefs, the true crime podcast where we dive into some of the most disturbing cases where belief systems take a dark and dangerous turn. I'm Rhea. If you're here for the very first time, hello. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you're going back on the podcast to listen to the other episodes so you can get caught up, okay? Today's episode, though, is one that will definitely make you frustrated, maybe even angry. We're talking about Elizabeth Strauss, an 8-year-old girl whose life was tragically cut from her because the very people that were supposed to save, love, protect her chose faith over her. But before we dive in, I do want to say a big thank you to everyone that has shared this podcast, liked the podcast, followed the podcast, even, you know, going as far as sharing the podcast to your family members, your friends, your coworkers, everyone. Thank you guys so much. I hit over 800 listens the other day, and I feel so much gratitude to you guys because I know that without you, this would not be happening. So thank you so much for talking about the podcast, for sharing the podcast, for even, you know, being here and listening to these stories all the way through. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I've gotten so many case requests. I've gotten so many suggestions. I've gotten so many just feedback in general. So I really do appreciate you guys participating. In a few weeks, I'm going to have an option where people can subscribe to get extra episodes. It's going to be on Apple Podcasts and Patreon. And this is because I have had a few people complain about waiting till Friday for a new episode. But you guys have to remember that I'm only a month old. So like, I'm a baby. Okay, I'm a baby. I haven't really gotten my foot into this just yet, but I am coming up with an option where you guys can, you know, subscribe for more episodes. You're going to be getting those episodes on Wednesdays, so you'll get an episode ahead of the people that are not subscribed, right? If someone was not subscribed, they would be getting the episode on Friday that you got on Wednesday, and then you get a new episode on Friday. So you're just not on the same level. Okay, so that's going to be an option for the people that cannot wait till Friday for another episode. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast so far. I do have another heads up for you guys. This episode covers the death of a child due to religious medical neglect. It's a tough one. So if you're not in a headspace for it, no worries. I get it. I'm okay with you guys sitting this one out. I will not hold a grudge. So yeah, grab your tea, grab your coffee, eyes on the road, whatever you need to do. Let's get into it. Elizabeth Strauss was just an 8-year-old when she passed away in Toowoomba, Queensland, Australia. She was bright, happy, and she was a kid who loved to play with her siblings. She had her whole life ahead of her, like any other kid. She probably had dreams of wanting to maybe be a teacher, an artist, or even a doctor, but we'll never know because those dreams were snuffed out of her by the very people that were supposed to prevent this from happening. Elizabeth had type 1 diabetes, which isn't something that you can just pray away. It's a serious condition that requires insulin to keep the body functioning properly. With proper care, she could have had a full life. There are people today that have type 1 diabetes. Even though this is not an illness to be messed around with, there are still people that live today with type 1 diabetes because they are medicated, right? So Elizabeth could have had a full and healthy life with her medication, with proper care, but that's not what happened. And that's what makes this story even more frustrating because her death was so unnecessary. Her parents, Jason and Carrie Strauss, weren't just regular churchgoers. They were deep in the Saints. The Saints was a cult. They don't want to call it that, but it was a cult. A small, extreme religious sect led by a man called Brendan Stevens. Why do y'all love to follow random men? Like, why do you not ask yourself, where did this random man come from? Why the hell should I be listening to what a random man in the middle of nowhere is saying? right? Like, why should I be following something just because a man says it? Like, no one is caring where they got their information from. No one wants to verify that they're actually talking to a god. No one cares if, you know, there's actually any communication going on between this person and the god that you so-called believe in, right? But somehow, the minute these people open their mouth and tell you that they heard blah, blah, blah from the god, and the god is telling them that you should not be giving your children medical care. Anyway, here's the thing. This wasn't just some harmless group. The saints weren't just strict. They were controlling. They isolated themselves from the rest of the world. And if you question their rules, you risked being cut off from the rest of the world. Pretty much your family, your friends, your entire support system. Jason and Carrie were deep in their mindset. And when push came to shove, the pressure led them to make an unthinkable choice that cost them their daughter's life. I don't fucking know how y'all listen to a random man in the middle of nowhere that's telling you that you should not be giving your child medical intervention because a god wants it that way. Because a god cares that you're giving your sick child medical intervention. If y'all don't fucking stand up. Anyway, back in 2019, Carrie actually got arrested for not taking care of Elizabeth's medical needs. And Jason even testified against her. And at that time, he wasn't fully wrapped up in the whole saints thing just yet. Right. He saw what happened when faith was prioritized over medical care. For a minute, it looked like he might step away from it, but no. Everything changed when Carrie got locked up. Jason now was alone with the saints. He was pretty much isolated with these people, more isolation. And he became even more vulnerable to their teachings. They convinced him that Carrie's arrest was some kind of spiritual attack, that they were being prosecuted just like the early Christians. So we're just gonna freaking forget that this woman is being accused of neglecting her child's medical need, right? We're just gonna brush that off. That's not actually happening in real time. No, 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 no. This is a spiritual fight. This is a kingdom battle. Right. Right. The person in front of you in real time is actively neglecting their child. Right. They're making sure that this child does not get medical needs when they're in pain, when they're sick, when they're feeling their worst, right? Actively making sure that the child stays in pain and uncomfortable, right? Consciously making the decision to do that to your child. But when she gets arrested for it, we call it a spiritual attack, right? Okay, right. Little by little, he started drinking the Kool-Aid. He started showing up to service more, leaning on the saints for guidance. By August 2021, he was baptized into the group, fully committed to the cause. From that point on, Jason wasn't just a member anymore. He was all in. He started speaking in tongues, preaching about faith healing, cutting off people who weren't a part of the group. Any doubts he had were gone. He was now convinced that trusting God meant rejecting everything else, including medicine. Under Brendan Stevens' leadership, the saints took things even further. They pushed into total isolation. They told followers that going to a doctor wasn't just unnecessary, it was sinful. If someone got sick, there was no ER visit, no prescriptions, just prayer, fasting, and waiting for a miracle. So when Elizabeth's health took a nosedive, Jason didn't see a medical emergency, he saw a test of faith. Okay guys, so this part is just going to just be a trigger warning. I'm going to describe what Elizabeth was going through while they were keeping her away from her medication. So just brace yourself. It's not like blood and guts gruesome, but it's quite literally a child dying slowly. And it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. So yeah, brace yourself. Like I said, By early January 2022, Elizabeth was showing all the warning signs that something was seriously wrong. She was exhausted, constantly thirsty, and dropping weight fast. Anyone who knows diabetes would have known that she was in crisis. But instead of taking her to the doctor, Jason and Carrie, along with the rest of the saints, made a deadly choice. They completely stopped her insulin, convinced that if they just prayed hard enough, she'd be healed. For 6 long agonizing days, Elizabeth's body fought to survive. She got weaker and weaker, struggling to lift her head, barely able to breathe. She was likely in unbearable pain, and still no one called for help. They just kept praying and singing and waiting for a fucking miracle. But that miracle never came. On January 9th, 2022, Elizabeth died of diabetic ketoacidosis, a brutal preventable death that could have been avoidable just by one insulin shot. Literally, if they just gave her her medication, she would have been fine. And here's the most heartbreaking part. They didn't even call for help right away. Instead, they kept praying, convinced that she was going to come back to life somehow. For a full 24 hours, they waited, hoping for a resurrection. It wasn't until a day later that someone finally picked up the phone and called the cops. When police arrived at the Struss house, what they found was shocking. Elizabeth's body was inside, surrounded by members of the saints, still praying over her, right? She's dead. 24 hours after she dies, they're still praying. No one had attempted to do CPR, and no ambulance was called while she was slipping away. It was as if they truly believed that their prayers could bring her back. Authorities wasted no time. 14 people, including Jason, Carrie, and Brandon Stevens, were arrested. The charges? Manslaughter and child cruelty. Prosecutors argued that every single one of them played a role in Elizabeth's death, whether by directly neglecting her or enforcing the twisted beliefs that led to it. The trial was intense and the country was outraged. It wasn't just about two parents making one bad decision. It was about a whole community that let this happen. How could so many adults stand by and do literally nothing while a child literally slips away? And I'm saying literally because it happened in real time. Like, this is not a fiction story. Actual adults with fully formed brains stood there and watched a child die because of faith, because they believed it. Anyway, Jason and Carrie never showed remorse, which is what I'm starting to see is a pattern with a lot of these quote-unquote believers. When they commit these heinous crimes, doesn't really seem like, you know, remorse is their first go-to. We're seeing that pattern, and I wonder why. I don't know, maybe it might have something to do with the fact that they're thinking that there's going to be another life where they're forgiving for all of this nonsense. I mean, you know, if you were to tell someone that kind of fairy tale, I don't know what kind of accountability you think they're going to have in this life. But you guys want to argue and say people that don't have the Bible or religion just don't have any moral grounding. Is this your moral grounding? Is this what belief is supposed to help you with? Is this how you know that you're supposed to go to eternal life? By watching a child die? Is that supposed to rack you points with your God? And you know what's even funnier? I bet while they're watching that child die, I bet you those people were on medication themselves. At least one of those people were on medication themselves. Because who is walking down the street these days and not on some kind of fucking medication, right? There's literally a medication for everything now because people need help in every aspect of their lives. Talk less of diabetes. Talk less of an illness that one you literally could die from. And then the one thing that could prevent you from dying is so easy. It's so small. It's so easy. It's something that takes seconds to apply. And the people that are supposed to have brought you into this world and supposed to be responsible for you are just saying, no, think I don't think the sickness is real. I think God is just going to take care of it. All I have to do is say a few words to myself or say a few words around a bunch of other people that also believe in my imaginary friend, right? If we say the chants together, then the imaginary friend is going to somehow heal my child. Even though she's actively dying, her organs are actively failing in your face. You're watching it happen, adults. And you're telling me this is where you get your morality from? If this is the only way that you can please your God, this is the only way that you can show how strong your faith is in your God, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I don't think you should be around children either. They took her away from that child on purpose. They locked her up because she was neglecting her child's health. And then when you see your child deteriorating, now I'm talking about the husband, you saw your child deteriorating in real time, right? Because this is why I'm losing empathy, right? Because we critically think, we are able to critically think. This man was able to see the harm that his wife was inflicting on this child. You were able to see that this child was going through a lot of pain when my wife did not give her medication. When we neglected her last time, it just didn't work out, right? She just wasn't feeling good, right? We shouldn't do that anymore. You were already upset at this woman for doing that. So why would you then turn around and follow the exact same thing? You know why? Because you're selfish as fuck and all you worried about is making sure that you have a place in heaven, right? Because this is not for your child. This is not for Elizabeth. This was not for her. This was to strengthen your faith, to build your rapport with God, because that's literally all this is. At the end of the day, I will never understand why people think it's okay to profess how much of a relationship that they have with this imaginary being and how you need to strengthen your faith and all of that nonsense. But then everyone else has to suffer for it but you. If you're building your faith, why don't you inflict all of this on yourself? Why don't you do it to yourself? Why do you have to harm other people to show that your faith is great in the Lord? It's never going to make sense to me. I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't matter what the belief is. It will never make sense to me. The fact that we do not care that adults are walking around with imaginary friends and hallucinating on a daily basis. Children suffer for that. The vulnerable suffer for that. The people that quite literally don't know what your next move is going to be because you've been jumping around kumbaya, acting like you actually have some sense, they are the ones that suffer for it. Because the next morning, when the little voice whispers in your ear to tell you to go off those people, you'll do it. You'll do it. Because you want to secure your place in heaven, right? You want to secure your place in the afterlife. So you'll kill your family members. Because why not? Why not? If you can come up with a good enough reason, right, then why not do it? This is your right as a God's chosen, right? Y'all disgust me. I'm sorry. This child did not have to suffer the way that she suffered. It was unnecessary. There's no suffering that is necessary. But this one was especially unnecessary. It took you seconds to apply that medication. It would have taken nothing from you, man. Nothing. Like, and it's not just stories like this. It's the law. It's the government. Like, you guys don't care about anyone but yourselves. You don't. You try to convince everyone that you love everyone and you just want to show the love and show the kindness, but you don't. You don't actually care about anyone but yourself, because that personal relationship that you have with whatever deity or whatever entity is all that matters to you. That's all that matters to you, because you will do anything and everything to be in the good graces of this imaginary entity. And you are the only one that's there to confirm if you're in good graces or not. You are the only one that gets to pick and choose when the God is happy with you, or when you're happy with the God, or when the God is ready to bless you, or when the God is happy enough to say, okay, yeah, you get to have a house. You are the only one that has decided all of those things. But somehow someone else now has to have pain inflicted on them just so you can prove your faith. So you can prove how amazing of a sheep follower that you are to an imaginary God. So you kill your child. You let your child wither away. For days, you watch that child in pain and you just prayed. You just said words out of your mouth. Your child just did not matter enough to you to maybe just give her some kind of relief. Just a little bit of relief. I can't even stand when my daughter has a fucking cold. And you think I'm going to watch her die because of an imaginary God? No, miss me with that. Anyway, Jason and Carrie never showed any remorse. They sat in court convinced that they had done the right thing. Even after everything, they believed Elizabeth's death was part of God's plan. Of course, the child's life is worthless to you. When it came to sentencing, this was absolutely freaking disappointing. Jason and Carrie Struss only got 15 years in prison with no chance of parole for at least 10 years. I still don't think that's enough. I don't. They should have been in there for the rest of their lives. But Brendan Stevens, the leader of the Saints, received 12 years. Of course, as the court determined his influence was instrumental, the remaining 11 members of the group received sentences ranging from 7 to 10 years, depending on their level of involvement in Elizabeth's suffering and death. I think they should have all gotten life, but, you know, I mean, religion, right? You know, it's the only time you can talk about how you have imaginary friends in your head and no one bats an eye, so the sentencing was meant to send a strong message, quote unquote, but I don't see what kind of strong message they were sending there. Religious beliefs is not an excuse for medical neglect. There's no way that you're going to convince me that somehow a random man just has to come and tell me that God is not okay with me giving my child insulin. If God is not okay with that, he gonna have to tell me his fucking self. And guess what? Even after that, I still would not care. I'm not sorry about that, right? Because at the end of the day, this is another human being telling you that you need to stop giving your child medication. They should have all been given life sentences, all 14 of them. Life sentences, no possibility of parole. That's my opinion. I mean, I said what I said because I don't understand how you guys will sit there and act like people are not actively causing harm in the name of belief. This whole case really had me in my feelings when I was putting it together. Elizabeth didn't get a say in any of this. She didn't have a choice, right? You know, as a child, you're vulnerable. You do what the adult is telling you to do. If they're not going to provide you with medication, what are you going to do? Like, what options do you have? You're 8, you know, like you're an 8-year-old. When a child is in need of things like shelter, food, water, medication, you are literally their only hope. And for you to sit there and watch them die, you people are sick. Like, I'm sorry, but you're sick. This case is a harsh reminder that faith can have deadly consequences. And it raises a big question of how much religious freedom is too much when it comes to a child's life. Right? Like, how much religious freedom do we give parents to deny a child medical care? Or even just people in general, to deny a family member medical care just because of what you believe in? Where do we draw that line? At the end of the day, beliefs should never come before basic human care. Faith should never be a reason to let someone suffer and die when you can help them. It makes no sense to me. It would have taken seconds to save that child's life. And even after she passes away, no one tries to do CPR. No one calls the police. They wait 24 hours later to even call anyone. And when they get there, they're still praying. They're still praying. Even after the faith has disappointed them, while they're literally in the face of disappointment. So you can now prove to the rest of the world that you're only talking to an imaginary friend. I wanted to highlight her story. I wanted to talk about how senseless these crimes can be and how all it really takes is for someone to believe it enough. If they believe it enough, they can off your ass. That's all they need to do. Believe it enough. Believe that they're doing this for an eternal God somewhere that's going to give them afterlife insurance. They don't need proof. All they need to do is believe it. So yeah, that's my conclusion. That's what I've seen from this. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening in. I appreciate it. Thank you so much again for the support, for the 5 stars, for all the feedback, even the case suggestions. I've gotten a few case suggestions that I want to look into, and I will be bringing it to you guys. So thank you again. I appreciate you. Take care of yourself. Make sure that you guys are drinking water. Stay hydrated. Stay safe as much as you possibly can. And yeah, drive safe. Bye. Have a good day.